We continue out with Maseches Beitzah, Daf Chaf Aleph, Amud Aleph, 5 lines from the top of the page. Bo yiminei Rav Avya Sava mi Rav Huna. So Rav Avya, the Sava, the elder, asked the following kasha of Rav Huna. Behema chetzio shal nochri v'chetzio shal Yisrael mahu l'shachta b'yamtif. Let's say you have an animal that is owned jointly by a Jew and a non-Jew. So mahu l'shachta b'yamtif, is it permissible to go ahead and to shecht this animal on yamtif? We previously seen that it's permissible to go ahead and to shecht an animal for one's own purpose on Yom Tif. This is from the pasuk of permitting melachos for ochel nefesh, hu levado yeyaseh lochem. But we had seen that the Gemara says, lochem velo lukusi, lochem velo lebehema, that you can do so for yourself or for another Jew, but you cannot shecht an animal for a non-Jew. And so therefore, the Gemara inquires, what happens if you have an animal that's owned b'shutfus? So by shechting this animal, it's really going to benefit both the Jew and the non-Jew. So Amalei Mutter, so Rav Huna says, it's permissible. So Amalei, v'chima bein zel and Adarim Nedavos. So what then is the difference between this and Adarim Nedavos? When it comes to Adarim Nedavos, a carbon which is brought in order to satisfy a vow that a person made, so it's not limited to any particular time. And we had seen that you shouldn't bring this on Yom Tif. Why? Because half of the food, or some of the meat, not exactly half, but some of the food is going to be eaten by the person who's bringing the carbon. But then there are going to be other parts of the carbon that are going to be burned on the Mizbeach. And so therefore, just like you can't go ahead and bring an Ola, you can't bring the Darman of Davos on Yom Tif, so we would think the same thing would apply over here when you have an animal that is owned partly by a non-Jew. So Amalei, Rav Huna responds, Urva Parach. He says, look, a raven just flew by. In other words, he completely changed the subject because he wanted to avoid answering this question directly. So Kinafak, when Rav Avya left, Amalei Rabba Brei, so Rav Huna's son, Rabba, said to his father, Rav Huna, Lav Hainu Rav Avya Sava de Mishtachach Lei Mar Bikavei, was that not the great Rav Avya, the elder, regarding whose master, meaning you yourself, praised the Gavir Rabahu. You said he was such a great man, so why did you completely ignore his question? He asked you a good question, and you changed the subject. So Amalei Ma'yavid Lei. So Rav Huna said, what am I supposed to do to him? Ani Hayom Samchuni Vashishos Rabtuni Batapuchim. So he quotes a pasuk from Shir Hashirim, saying, I can essentially say about myself today, quoting this pasuk, Samchuni Vashishos, sustain me with cakes, with delicious cakes, rabtuni batapuchim, and spread apples around me. Uboy minoy milsa de boy taima. And Rav Avya goes ahead and he asks me something which requires an explanation, and therefore I was unable to answer. What exactly was he saying to him? So Rashi says, Hayom, ani hayom samchuni bashishos yomtivu. This was a yomtiv, for darashti l'rabim, and I had just given a very long, extensive shir to the masses. And I feel very weak and very tired from the effort involved in giving the drasha. So he says about the pasuk, I need to be fed. I'm hungry, I'm tired, I'm exhausted. And he's going ahead and he's asking me something. The boy Taima says, this is something that requires effort on my part. And I couldn't answer him right then. And so therefore I went ahead and I basically changed the subject. So says the Gemara, okay. So the time am I. So the Gemara now wants an answer. What taki is the reason for this difference? Why is it that we say that an ola cannot be brought in Yom Tif? After all, some of it goes to the owner. There's some benefit to the owner. How is that different than a behema that belongs half to a Jew and half to a non-Jew, where it says it's mutter to bring it? So says the Gemara as follows: Behema chetzu shal nochri v'chetzu shal Yisrael mutter l'shachta v'Yom Tif. The reason why you're allowed to go ahead and shecht the behema, which belongs partially to an Andrew and Yom Tif, the EF Shalachazai is basu below shchita. Because it is impossible to eat even a small part of an animal without shechting the entire animal. Aval Nadarim Nadavos, asu l'shachta b'Yom Tif. However, when it comes to Nadarim Nadavos, the reason you can't shecht it in Yom Tif, the Kohanim Kizachu, when Kohanim actually go ahead and benefit and merit being able to take some of the animal and eat it, Mishulchan Gavoa Kazachu. Really, they are benefiting literally from Shulchan Gavoa, from the table of Hektish of the Rabbanu Shalom. Meaning that when it comes to Shechita that's done on a personal animal, we view it as if the Shechita is coming to directly benefit the owners, and in this case, the fact that the Jew cannot partake of even a kizayas of the animal, so we view it as if the entire Maisa Shechita is coming to benefit him. However, conceptually, we view Nedarim and Nedavos differently, because even though it's true that at a certain point in the process, the Kohanim are going to be able to partake of some of the animal, and so therefore they will be deriving some benefit through the Achila, but really the Shechita comes in order to consecrate the animal completely to Shulchan Gevoah. And then, it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu shares Kavayachol, some of the animal, with the Kohanim. And so therefore we view the Shechita, if it's done, being done completely, solely, exclusively for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore it is prohibited on Yom Tov. That the Maaseh Shechita is only permissible if it's coming to serve as a direct benefit to a Jew. The Gemara now continues to elaborate on this topic. Amar Rav Chisda, Behema Chetzer Shel Nachri V'Chetzer Shel Yisrael, Mutar L'Shachta B'Yom Tov, the EF Shel Kzayis Basar B'lo Shechita. If you have a Behema, as we've seen already, which is owned partly by a Jew and partially by a non-Jew, you're permitted to go ahead and to Shechta on Yom Tov again, because you cannot partake of even a Kzayis of Basar without Shechita, and therefore we view the entire Maisa Shechita as if it's benefiting the Jew. Isa Chetzer Shel Nachri V'Chetzer Shel Chorin, let's say you have a dough, which is owned half by a Jew and half by a non-Jew, osur lefosa b'yom tif. Now you are not permitted to go ahead and to bake it on yom tif, because it is possible to divide it while you are kneading it. In other words, when it comes to the animal, you cannot divide the animal in half and then shecht half of it. That's not an option. That's what we're saying. You have to shecht the whole animal and eat it even to have part of it. However, when it comes to an isa, that's not true. You can go ahead and divide it in half, and then you can go ahead and to knead and to bake the part that belongs to the Jew. And so therefore, there's no heter to go ahead and to do a maisa fia for something that ultimately is going to benefit the non-Jews. Continues the Gemara, Masiv Rav Chana Bar Chana Eloi. So Rav Chana Bar Chana Eloi goes ahead and he asks the Kasha and Rav Chisda based on the following Mishnah. Isas Kalovim. Isas Kalovim means a dough that has been prepared for dogs. It's been prepared for dogs because the ingredients that are used, specifically the type of grain that is used, is a brand that is not particularly the food of choice for people. And so therefore, normally this would be used for dogs. Bizman sheharo and ochlin mimena. However, kolzman that the shepherds would eat from it, so chayevus b'chala, so it is subject to the din of b'chala, namely that chala must be separated. Uma'arvin ba, it could be used for the purpose of an eruv chatzeros umishtatfin ba. It could also be used for the purpose of shitufe muvos that it can carry in a mavoi with this isa umivarichan aleha that you recite a bracha over it. It's considered to be a regular piece of bread umizamnim aleha. You can have a zimun when you have the required number of people who eat together. Having partaken of this particular type of bread, the nefes b'yomtif, and it can be baked a yomtif. In other words, it's considered to be achilas adam. V'adam yotzi yedei b'chavas b'pesach, and a person could even fulfill his obligation of matzah on Pesach. So now the Gemara says, v'amai, why is it that you're permitted to go ahead and bake this dough on yomtif? That's the specific part of the Mishnah that the Gemara now wants to highlight. V'efshel lemiflag b'lisha. After what, it is possible to go ahead and to divide the dough during this kneading process and bake only the part that is going to be consumed by humans. Now, according to Rav Chisda, we had seen that you're not permitted to go ahead and bake dough which is owned jointly between a Jew and a non-Jew, because we say that you can go ahead, unlike Shechita, you can go ahead and you could divide the isa in half and only bake the part that's going to be eaten by the Jew. But over here, if you have an isas kalavim, part is going to be eaten by the dogs, but there's going to be another part that's eaten by the shepherds. So really, when you are kneading the dough, it should be divided in half, and the only part that should be permitted to bake is the part that's going to be eaten by the humans. But over here it says, v'nefes v'yomtif, that it sounds like the entire isa can be baked on yomtif. So says the Gemara, Shani isas kalavim, this case is different. Hold the efshir l'faisam b'nevela. Because the bottom line is, it is possible that the dogs can be satisfied in terms of their own need to eat with something else, such as meat from an avela. So if this would happen, so that would mean the entire bread, the entire isa would be available for the shepherds. So when we are baking this bread, it is possible that part of it is going to be used for the dogs, but it's also possible that another opportunity will materialize, which will allow us to go ahead and feed something else to the dogs, and this entire isa will then be available for humans. And so therefore, it is permissible to go ahead and to bake this on Yom Tov. So now questions the Gemara, can it be that in fact Rav Chisda would maintain such a position? Mi isle le Rav Chisda hoel? Does Rav Chisda actually hold of this principle of hoel? Hoel literally means since. Meaning, do we say that since a certain development may arise, that we are going to go ahead and say that it's permissible to go ahead and to bake bread? After all, it was taught that a person who bakes on Yom Tov l'chol for the purpose of weekday use, Rav Chisda amar lo ke, Rabba amar lo ino lo ke. Machlokas between Rav Chisda and Rabba as to whether or not such a person gets malchus. Rav Chisda says he does get malchus because he was machal Yom Tov. Rabba says he does not. So now the Gemara goes on to explain the basis for these two opinions. Rav Chisda amar lo ke, Rav Chisda says he gets malchus. Why? Lo amrina, we don't say hol mechal le'orchim chazilei. Since what? Had guests arrived, then the food would have been suitable, usable on that day. So hashanami chazilei. So now, too, even though guests did not arrive, we say, no, it's suitable for Yom Tov use, and therefore, he should not get malchus. We don't say that. Rabbi says, no, he doesn't get malchus. Why? Amrina, because we say hoel. We say, since the bottom line is, when this food is being prepared, it is possible, it's potentially possible, that this could be used by someone if guests, unexpectedly arise on Yom Tov. And so therefore, we don't say that he should get malchus, because you can't look objectively at this act of baking the bread and say that definitively this was an act of chil Yom Tov. After all, it's always possible guests are going to come. So that's the machlokas between Rabbi and Rav Chisda. But what do you see very clearly? Rav Chisda does not accept this concept of hoel. He doesn't say, since something may potentially arise, therefore we're going to permit you to go ahead and to bake bread. So how then could Rav Chisda explain, as the Gemara wanted to say, shiny Isas Kalavim, hoel the efshel faisim benevela, that Isas Kalavim is different because it may be that you'll find an avela and you can give that to the dogs instead. After all, we see Rav Chisda doesn't have a hoel of hoel. Ella says the Gemara, lo tema hoel the efshel el kagon the islay nevela, the vadai efshel faisim benevela. Says the Gemara, no. Don't say that it's possible that maybe we will find, an avela that give to the dogs. El could go to islay avela. Another case over here is where the shepherd already has an avela. He has a dead animal to feed the dogs. The vadayev shalafai some avela. So certainly he can go ahead and satisfy the dogs with the avela. And therefore the entire isa will be available to the roim. So that's why Rav Chisda says, that's how we reconcile, this shita of Rav Chisda with the Mishnah that says that if you have an isas kalavim, you can go ahead and bake it on Yom Tov. You can bake it on Yom Tov because you have something else to feed the dogs. Masha Einkein, and we had seen previously, Rav Chisda says that when you have an Issa that is partially owned by a non-Jew, so whatever you bake the bread, half of it's going to go to the Jew, and half is going to go to the non-Jew. In that case, Rav Chisda says, it's not permitted to go ahead and bake the bread on Yom Tov. The most you will allow is to go ahead and divide the Issa when you're needing it, and you can bake the part that is going to be used by the Jew. And the non-Jew will then go ahead and take his half of the dough, and he can do whatever he wants with it. But it would not be permitted, according to Rav Chisda, not be permissible to go ahead and to bake that half of the dough as well.